You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Now I'm a union man, amazed at what I am. I say what I think, that the company stinks. Yes, I'm a union man. When we meet in the local hall, I'll be voting with them all. With a hell of a shout, it's out, brothers, out, and the rise of the company's fall. Oh, you don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. Till the day I die. Till the day I die.
As a union woman, I'm wise to the lies of the company spies.
And she don't.
Good morning, members. Welcome to Fire Up MUA. My name's David Boyle. I'm from a Victorian branch. I'm here with my usual co-host, Aaron Moon. How are you, Aaron?
I'm very well, Dave. How are you?
I think you're lying, mate. I heard you had a pretty big night last night.
Well, mate, you got to look at the motives behind those that are speaking about those.
You're fitting well, mate. It's great to see you and good to have you on board. We're reporting to you live from Canberra. We're up here with the MUA Jobs Embassy. It's all about saving Australian shipping and returning Australian shipping back to the coast of Australia. And it's been a great campaign. We've got about 50 members up here at the moment. And we've been lobbying members of Parliament from all the way from Anthony Albanese. Down to Tim Watts, member for Jellybrand, and Josh Kearns, member for MP. There's a lot happening in the Port of Melbourne at the moment. The Port of Melbourne Authority and the Port of Melbourne organisation have put out a plan that is not really very clear. It's creating a lot of problems for us, the MUA, and is going to create a lot of problems for some of the big stevedores in Melbourne, because there's a company in Web Dot called VICT. As ships get bigger, it's become more difficult to get ships up the river, according to the Port of Melbourne. Obviously, there can be changes made there that could get the ships under the bridge, but that's what's happening. And, of course, the other two big stevedores in the Port of Melbourne, Patrick's and DP World, are up in arms because the proposal is to extend VICT's coverage on WebDoc and give them greater access to the market. It is going to create a lot of controversy, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens. It's almost like the Victorian government are asleep at the wheel or asleep at the helm. They don't seem to be participating at all in the discussion. The Ports Minister, Melissa Horne, she's just throwing her hands in the air and say, oh, the decision's already been made. But certainly we're not going to stand back and do nothing about it. There's other issues associated with this, and that is Sea Road and coal, the Bass Strait trade, which is really critical and important to Australian seafarers. They're trying to force them further up the river, up to Appleton Dock and up to Victoria Dock. That'll increase the costs and expenses for those businesses, and any increase in costs and expenses to Australian seafarers and Australian seafarers' jobs just increases the threat to those, to us losing those positions and happening what's happening all over the country and all over the world. And the big corporations, they turn to international seafarers. They exploit these seafarers.
We've heard from the ITF multiple times on this show about the exploitation that occurs in the international trade and about the work that they are doing to try and mitigate or stop that. So if the Victorian government won't stick their hands up and support a good solid cabotage campaign for Australian seafarers and make sure that wages are being met satisfactorily in the Australian trade, then they will. They were the first government, I think, in this country to criminalise wage theft, and they'll almost be participating in the greatest wage theft you've ever seen in seafarers if we lose the international trade or the Bass Strait trade.
Absolutely, and we couldn't overemphasise the importance of Bass Strait to our members. We have around 850 members who make a living out of the Bass Strait trade, from the stevedoring companies, Toll, Sea Road, TT Line, to our seafarers, brothers and sisters who work on those vessels. So it's critically important to our members and obviously to the Maritime Union, so we really need to protect it. And that's what we plan to do.
You know this business about the ships getting bigger and bigger. Disaster along one of the major canals recently should highlight that there has to be a limit to the size of these cargo ships, surely.
There is issues around that, Annie. You're right. And if people can remember, I'm sure around a decade, maybe not a decade ago, 6 or 7 years ago, there was some big work done around the Port Phillip Bay Heads. There was some explosive work and dredging that took place. The conservationists weren't happy about that then. So I'm not sure how much bigger the ships can go with the heads in their current state without additional dredging taking place. The river itself would need to be dredged, of course. Yeah, so there is issues and environmental issues. So, yeah, it is an interesting time ahead. Obviously, the shipping companies make more money the more containers they can put onto their vessels. So it's always going to be a battle against the large corporations to sort of stop this situation. I also have Michelle Myers standing nearby. We're, as I said, live coming to you live from Canberra. And Michelle is the main organiser in the Jobs Embassy. Michelle, how's it all going?
It's a little bit cold down here, but it's going well. Where the fire in our hearts is very warm.
We're in Long John's, eh, Michelle?
I think I'm in here to talk about my underwear.
despite the Canberra temperature, you're all fired up, and we're all fired up here at the Jobs Embassy. And Miss, do you want to tell us a little bit of history about the Jobs Embassy?
Yeah, I can. So everyone remembers the MV Portland dispute down in Portland, Victoria in 2015 when the seafarers were sacked on that ship. After the dispute ended, after 75 days sitting on that vessel, we decided to bring the Portland picket line to Canberra, and we did. So in February of 2016, it was our first sitting week that we came to Canberra with the Portland Embassy, and it's called the Australian Jobs Embassy for Save Australian Shipping. And we have been coming here for pretty much a whole bunch of sitting weeks since. This is our 16th week on the lawn, and it's been a really good event so far. We're only here for 2 days, but all of the ALP MPs have been down. There's been some Greens, there's been some One Nation, there have been all sorts of visitors to the embassy, getting our message out and doing the bit to save Australian shipping.
Really exciting night tonight coming up.
I understand this is a campaign for Australian shipping, but there is international support, is there not?
Yeah, there is international support. We got massive support from the SIU in Canada who gave us a bit of cash to help with our cabotage campaign. And we've bought a new trailer and some new infrastructure and whatever and got the thing on the road. And as Dave was about to say, there's a launch of the MV Portland documentary on tonight. And for the listeners, if they want to go to the MUA Facebook page, they'll be able to view that live or on YouTube.
Comrade Michelle means it was on yesterday. It was a great premiere.
Yes, and that documentary though, Aaron, is only a short one. It's an 18-minute documentary, but we weren't allowed to show that. We filmed it a year after the dispute, and we haven't been able to show it since because we've been in federal court for that dispute ever since. So now that that court's over, we're allowed to show the documentary, and I hope everyone that's listening has a look.
And comrades, we will be showing this documentary when we are down in Portland ourselves late July. So make sure that all of our Portland members get down there, get there and are there to see it, because it is a tearjerker, but it is something that the Australian people need to see.
It's an important story to tell to the community, and I know that there'll be people out there that don't understand our industry that will really get it once they've seen this film.
The government, the federal government, has been pushing a return, a manufacturing through arms, and talking about the defence industry, and everything's geared up around rhetoric around defending our nation and all this stuff when it comes to China. But this cabotage issue is right to the crux of this, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're right. Yeah, this is. Gavish.
Yeah, absolutely it is. And it's just, I mean, Australian shipping is just completely ignored by this government. Unfortunately, we need a new government. But even the Angus Taylor fuel security package that he announced doesn't include, you know, ships to actually cart the fuel cargoes and the fuel products, which is absolutely insane for an island nation. And for anyone listening that thinks it's okay that we don't even have an Australian fuel tanker on our coast, you know, it's absurd.
Yeah, and we were in a meeting yesterday with Richard Miles, and he coined a phrase that I hadn't heard before: supply chain sovereignty. And that's what I think we need to be pushing. And you know, COVID has highlighted our island nation and how isolated we are, and our ability to, you know, supply the public with everything they need, and fuel being the probably most important part of that. So you never know, in a strange sort of way, the COVID crisis could be good for supply chain sovereignty.
Yeah, just complete transport sovereignty is what we need.
Yeah, absolutely. How are you going, Annie? We haven't seen you for a while. Everything all right in your world?
Oh, yeah. No, everything's fine. We've been doing our radiothon. And obviously, we'd love people, listeners, especially listeners to your program, to donate to make sure that programs like yours continue, because it's not like the mainstream media really gives a voice to workers. It's always from the point of view of the big end of town, because they all act as if the big end of town is on our side. But of course, the more that you look into issues, the less a truth there is in it. I mean, the cabotage issue, you know, most people wouldn't understand that, because we don't all live your lives. We don't live on ships, and we aren't part of the MUA except vicariously by listening to a program like this. But the issues around COVID that happened to you guys, the fact that members of the MUA were put into detention in Darwin because of some sort of spurious COVID scare, when it was actually the MUA that forced the authorities to actually take COVID seriously when it came to ships coming into port. I mean, these kind of issues are being shown through your program and through 3CR. So, of course, we'd love people to donate to our radiothon. We've reached $175,000. We've got to reach $250,000. So you can donate online. That's 3cr.org.au/donate. So that's what we've been doing.
There's still plenty of time for everyone to donate, is there?
Yeah. We run this till June, but then, of course, if we don't reach our target, then we're paddling like little white mice to try and fill the gap. So, yeah, show us the love. So that's what I've been doing.
Yeah, that's great. And you're right, Annie, because without good, strong, radical community radio like 3CR, how would people know that that wharfies in Darwin have been locked up in ridiculous circumstances as a bureaucratic overreach, and in the same on the same side of that coin is that wharfies in Melbourne lost pay to protect the Australian community against COVID. And it's wild to think that there is wharfies currently locked up because of it.
Ah, mate, you. Absolutely, Aaron. You know, the wharfies in Melbourne
were you know, money deducted from their salaries because they didn't want to go onto a vessel that had left Asia only 12 days earlier, and there was it was right at the start of the COVID crisis, and people were concerned about their health and the risks that could be on board the vessel, and we were just trying to make a point about how there was no sort of policy or common sense approach to the whole thing. And now we have 13 wharfies in Darwin who are on a vessel 12 days out of China, and they were dragged out of their homes. They were dragged off the wharf, and they're actually in the Howard Springs Detention Centre, and we can't get them out because of the ridiculous nature of the bureaucracy that we live in, and it's absolutely outrageous. So, yeah, so...
I reckon there's a word that probably describes it more aptly, but it's probably not appropriate for radio.
Yeah, I actually spoke personally to one of the guys I know who's in the Howard Springs Detention Centre, and, you know, they're not travelling well, those guys. There's mental health issues. Their families don't know what's going on. It really is a desperate situation, and it's an absolute disgrace because that vessel that was in Darwin left Darwin because they couldn't discharge the products there because of this situation. It went to Port Hedland, where the Western Australia Chief Health Officer declared in a COVID-free ship. All the crew have been tested, and they're all, no one's got COVID on the vessel. They've never had, well, you know, none of those crew have had COVID. And so the cargo got discharged in Port Hedland. It's now on its way back to Darwin, and the Darwin Chief Health Officer will not release these guys from the Howard Detention Centre. So, you know, it's absolutely ridiculous. And I know that the companies involved, Lynx, and that are starting litigation against the Darwin Northern Territory Health Department. So, you know, it's just ridiculous. And it just makes an absolute, you know, joke to Australian bureaucracy in the way we do it.
And the MUA has said to governments at every level previously, there's no point testing the drink driver, the barman, if the drink driver is a problem. And it is clear. It took us multiple days of discussions to get even the Northern Territory government, a Labor government, I might add, to test the seafarers. And they're terrified that the seafarers are going to be test positive, and that Australia might have some sort of global fucking conscience, and we have to look after people. Like we need to be testing seafarers to see if the risk is there, and then if it is, and if they are infected, then we look after them, mate. Like we can't be an island nation relying on global trade and then just turn our backs on our global commitments with regards to the health of the workers that ply that trade. It's absurd.
Do you think that what happened in Darwin is either vindictive or just trying to show that they're doing something, an overreaction to something, while something else is happening that they're not reacting to?
Yeah, it's them trying to weasel their way out of their obligations internationally, but also nationally trying to make sure that they have some sort of response when there is, and there will be, an inquiry or a royal commission of sorts into the response to COVID. And that's what it is now. It's just them weaseling their way out of it.
Also, why haven't their families been told what's going on? What's their problem?
No, the families know they're in the Howard Springs Detention Centre. They just don't understand why, because it just makes no sense at all. But, this is clearly an economic decision around not testing the international seafarers. Because when you think about it, if a vessel comes from overseas and they arrive in Australia and we decide we're going to implement this policy where we're going to test the international seafarers, so someone's going to have to go on board the vessel, test the seafarers, and then that vessel's going to have to stand by while those test results come through and it's declared safe to go on board. It's an economic decision. It's always an economic decision.
Yep, and they don't want three more numbers saying that there's three more COVID cases on the morning news, really.
Absolutely. It's very a crazy confusing. World. It certainly is. Yeah. And you know, the
fucking thing, political decision rather than a health decision. It's the one time. It's a shameful for us to say that it's the one time that the Australian government and the various state governments neglect health decisions and go with the Australian people, and it's disgusting.
It's only a matter of time before Australian wharfies or Australian MUA workers, maritime workers, get infected from a vessel that's come from overseas. They need to change this policy. They need to test the international seafarers, and it needs to happen soon because I think we all agree COVID's going nowhere. It's unfortunate, but we can't keep locking down cities. We can't keep living this way. We need to get some good policies in place that are in the interests of everyone's health and not based on economics.
I wish the Australian government would sink COVID as fast as they're sinking Australian shipping.
Say that again.
I wish the Australian government would sink COVID as fast as they're sinking Australian shipping.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's
right.
The stuff that's happening in Canberra, yes, we are coming to the end of the program. The stuff that's happening in Canberra, just as a matter of interest, what did the One Nation person have to say?
I believe she's supporting Australian shipping, and when you're fighting for your life and you're fighting for the careers of your members, you're willing to go to all lengths. So
they're in Parliament, and they use wedge politics in order to hang on to power with their little fingernails. So they're important because that's all about numbers, isn't it?
I'm confident that our officials had to wash themselves with a house brick afterwards. But look, we need the support of everybody, and you're right, Annie, they are duly elected by the Australian people. So
all right. Well, I guess we should sign off and hope that your stay in Canberra actually produces some results.
Absolutely. Thank you, Annie, and thank you for the program, and thank you to 3CR for the great service you provide to working men and women all over Australia, in particular Victoria. And we hope our members will put their hands in their pockets and support 3CR. Make sure you hit up your fighting funds, hit up your rolling funds, get a few bit of money across towards 3CR, and let's keep this fantastic independent radio show going. Thank you.
If you've suffered through Dave's voice this long, you can spare a bit of cash.
Yeah, 3cr.org.au/donate. See you guys.
Thanks, comrades.
When the whale gets strike and the line run down, and the whale makes a flunder with its tail, and the boat capsized, and I lost my darling man. No more, no more dreamland for you, brave boys. No more, no more dreamland for you. Was it 1853 of June the 13th day that our gallant ship her anchor weighed and for Greenland sailed away? Brave boys, and for Greenland sailed away. The lookout on the cross tree stood with a spyglass in his hand. There's a whale, there's a whale, there's a whale, fishy cries. She blows out every span.
Brave boys,
she blows out every span. We struck that whale and the line paid out, but she made a flunder with her tail. And the boat capsized and four men were drowned, and we never caught that whale.
Brave boys,
we never caught that whale. To lose
heart full sore, but to lose four of my gallant men, it grieves me 10 times more.
Brave boys, it grieves me 10 times more.
Oh, Greenland is a dreadful place, a land that's never green, where there's ice and snow and the whale fishes blow, and daylight seldom seen.
Brave boys,
and daylight seldom seen.
When the whale gets strike and the line run down, and the whale makes a flunder with its tail, and the boat capsized, and I lost my darling man. No more, no more Greenland for you, brave boys. No more, no more Greenland for you.
Get married instead and spend all night in bed and go to sea no more.
No more, no more. Go to sea no more. But get married instead and spend all night in bed and go to sea no more. No more, no more. Go to sea no more. But get married instead and spend all night in bed and go to sea no more.
Throughout the month of June, we'll be asking you, the listener, to support radical, community-owned media during our radiothon.
We'll be taking donations online, over the phone, and in the station to help keep us going for another year.
Independent community media is more important than ever, and we need your support to power community radio. The 3CR Radiothon kicks off in June.
To donate, go to 3cr.org.au, call the station on 03 9419 8377 or drop in at 21 Smith Street, Fitzroy during business hours. 3CR Community Powered Radio.
You like it already?
I do, actually, yeah.
Life will get you in the end. On this one thing you can depend. When you're on the bridge of death, don't hold your final breath, because life will get you in the end.
That's
life
lovely.
Can drive you around the bend. You think it's never gonna end. Then somebody comes along and reminds you in a song that life will get you in the end. Rattling round the universe as a human being, while it could be worse. Life's a gift, it's not a curse. So live gore blimey, and life will get you in the end. And so farewell to you, my friend. One final thing to try is bend and kiss your ass goodbye. Because life will get you in the end.
In the end.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.